Today at Crossway Church on this beautiful Friday afternoon. I'm so glad that you joined me here whenever it is you join me. We're in the book of Colossians. This is a beautiful letter written from our precious Lord through the Apostle Paul to the church of Colossae and to you and me. In our time right now, the Word of God, all of the Word of God is for you and me. The Lord Himself is trying to fulfill His Word in our lives, and I'm thankful to be a part of that in these last days. So grab your Bibles and get ready to follow along with us in our Bible study. We're a little late today because the camera quit working, had to change cameras right quick. Late is not in my vocabulary. I don't like it, but it does happen sometimes. So just a reminder that we have a YouTube channel, Curtis Hutchinson 316. Everything we do there on the is eventually makes it to the YouTube channel. These Monday and Friday sessions at noon, they're not live on the YouTube channel. They're only live on the Crossway Church Queen City, Texas Facebook page, but they're uploaded later to that YouTube channel. The worship services on Sunday and Wednesday are live on that Facebook page and the YouTube channel. So you can go there and see everything we do here at Crossway Church, what's being taught, what's being preached, the worship, the music, the prayer time, everything is going on the YouTube channel. And we're just excited to be able to have this technology to be able to share our time with you that we share together in the Word, in worship with the Lord. So again, we have a website, thecrosswaychurch.com. The last session, I showed you that this is the most recent four commentaries on Romans and four chapter sacraments. And $6 each, you can get your copy or copies today. Be good to hand out for your family, co-workers, friends, relatives, whoever, so they can begin to learn the Word of God in its righteous truth in which it was written. And we're so thankful. So go to the website. Again, it's thecrosswaychurch.com, and be blessed by what you find there. Also, there's an app you can get for your smart device. It's called Podbean. And right now, I'm live on our Podbean channel. This is going on live on our channel, which is for those who have ears to hear. And you get that Podbean app for your phone, and you'll get an alert if you follow us. And when we go live, and you'll just know that we have another episode that we've uploaded, or you can find on our website, thecrosswaychurch.com, about center way down on the page on the left, a little box. It's our Podbean app box, and the latest messages, plural, are on there for you to hear. And this one will be there immediately after we're done today. So, also, I hadn't announced it yet, but my son Andrew and I will begin a Romans chapter 6 teaching on Wednesday nights, dual teaching, him and I, May the 1st. It'll be about 3 weeks. On a Wednesday night, we're going to begin to teach together Romans chapter 6. We need to always make that a part of our ministries at all times. And sometimes the Lord wants us to go back and get even more grounded for those of us who have become initially established in that great truth and of how to live for God. And again, that's going to be May the 1st on Wednesday evenings. Andrew and I are going to begin to teach that great chapter 6 of Romans. But for today, I want you to go ahead and get your Bibles, if you will, and hop over to Colossians chapter 2. And let's hear from the Lord today. He desires very much so to be able to engraft His truth into our souls, to impart the spiritual truth that we need today. There's always room for growth. There's always room to gain more of Christ. But to do that, there's always going to include loss of whatever whatever it's been that's hindering our gain, it'll have to take place. If we're gaining Christ, then we're losing what was hindering our gaining Christ. You don't just gain Christ. And here's what we know. The proof of that is the gaining Christ is not just knowing another scripture about the cross. Gaining Christ is learning the truth of the word of the cross and allowing the Holy Spirit to apply it to our lives through the death He's working in us, 2 Corinthians 4:12. That's where the rubber meets the highway, my friend. And that's really why we're going back in about 3 weeks and going to begin to teach Romans 6 again. Because out of Romans 6 comes the light for everything else in the Word of God. I can assure you of that. You may know what the Bible says, but until you begin to be grounded in Romans chapter 6 and how we're not talking about what you do. You know, you ask the just about any Christian, how do you live for God? And they'll start telling you what you do. Well, you go to church, you pray, you give, you fast, you know, you love. No, I didn't ask you what you do to live for God. How do you live for God? How do you love when you're hated? How do you go to church when you don't feel like it? How do you give to God what belongs to God when you really would rather keep it for yourself? How do you live for God? We see what the Bible tells us to do, and the church is big on that, although not much of it is even doing what it tells us to do, because we don't know how to do all the what to do's. But the how to do is in the Bible right along with the what to do's. And that's why Romans 6 is so important. So it's very crucial. So let's get into this today. Grab your Bibles. Here we are, Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to really dig in when we put our feet in verse 4 today. But once more, let's go back and just read through, since we're still so close to this portion of the first part of the chapter, and see what the context is again together. Because I can promise you, every time you read something in the Word, if you've read it 10 times, if you have a Spirit-taught heart, He is attempting to strengthen you in or impart to you something you don't have, or strengthen you in what you do have, oh, more and more and more. So let's look at this in verse 1, Colossians chapter 2. For I wish that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Did you get that? And we're going to hone in today on this "and of Christ." It says here the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, but we'll see here the main focus is going to be on Christ, as it always has been. He's the one the Father sent. He's the one the Holy Spirit told us about when he spoke the gospel to us. He's the one we're to be found exalting. When we're exalting Christ, we're being led by the Spirit and glorifying our Heavenly Father. Let me say it again. When we're exalting Christ, and that can't be done unless we're expressing Christ, then we're being led by the Spirit of Christ, and we're glorifying the Father of Christ. Everything for us is centered around Christ, and that specifically being found in Christ. We'll see it, I hope, like never before today. So watch this. Verse 3, in whom? In whom? Talk about in Christ. And just break away for a second to show you, and go down to verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. It's all about Christ here. It's all about Christ. Look at verse 9. For in Him, in Christ, watch, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. That's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. All dwells in Christ. Christ is in the Father. The Father's in Christ. We're in Christ. Therefore, we're in the Father. We have become one. We have been joined to the Lord and have become one spirit with the Lord, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. So we need to know this. The focus is always Christ. You can't focus on the Father, but your focus can only be on the Father if your focus is on Christ. You can't focus on the Holy Spirit. You have to focus on Christ, and then that will be the proof the Holy Spirit is leading you and guiding you into the things that are in and only in Christ. All the works of God that we're ordained to walk in, Ephesians 2:10, tell us they're in Christ. None of them are outside of Christ. And I can never mention Ephesians 2:10 without bringing to the table, Ephesians 2:10 reveals the foolishness of thinking that we can do anything to put ourselves into Christ, such as water baptism, going to church, taking communion, anything we're doing physically with our bodies is things that we can only do as we're led by the Spirit, which, by the way, before we are in Christ, we do not have the Spirit. So all the works of God that we're called and ordained to walk in, they're only in Christ. So before you can carry out one footstep in any work that God's ordained for you to walk in, you have to first be where they are, and that's in Christ. That means you can't work your way in. You can't do a work to get in. Water baptism is something you're doing physically. And it's supposed to be because of your already being positioned in Christ through faith in His death. And if that's the case, then water baptism is an act of obedience as you're led by the Spirit because you're already in Christ. But water baptism, that's something you do physically and someone else does to you in the water, and therefore that cannot put you in Christ. Only your faith in His death immerses you into His death, Romans 6:3. Then comes all the works out of the death of Christ. Hallelujah. So it's in Him. It's in Him. The focus is in Him. So watch this now. In whom, verse 3, in whom, in who? In Christ. In Christ, meaning, listen, the Lord is raising up churches and pastors as we speak over the last 25 to 30 years, who He's been able to bring back and still is waking the church up and bringing them back to a focus of the sacrifice of His Son, where we met God, where we first saw Him, where we died and were born again with Christ, where we first loved Him because we there first recognized His true love for us through what He did there, His grace for us, His mercy for us. Everything we recognized about God, we recognized through the gospel. And that is what God did in Christ through the eternal Spirit on the cross in death. You never need to forget that. And when our hearts yielded to that truth, we were baptized into the death of Jesus. That's where we began. Our experience with Christ scripturally began by being crucified with Him. That's where He came to represent us. Just like the first Adam represented us all We were all in the first Adam, the Bible says. So therefore, when he sinned, we all became sinners and we all became dead in our sin. So when we show up here in this world born, we're already sinners, dead in our trespasses and sin. But we experienced Christ initially where we were immersed into him. And that was his death through our hearts yielding to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You never need forget. Most Christians do not even understand what in Christ means. And it simply and exclusively means in his death. That's where God safely put you to, first of all, get rid of you and to be able to create a new you in Christ. And when he was buried and raised on the third day, he only brought out the new creation. He was the firstborn from the dead, first rank, priority above all, before all, and in him we exist as the new creation. Nothing of the old came out of the grave, my friend. Nothing of the old came out of the grave. So in Christ means in his death. And that's where your faith has to always be anchored. And we can't ever get away from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, that says to us that God is always working death in us who are alive for Jesus' sake. So that the life of Christ can be expressed through us in these mortal bodies. But it never can happen unless our hearts are yielded to his obedience, which was unto righteousness, meaning his obedience unto death, which was unto the righteousness he was trusting his heavenly Father for and in, that was imputed unto us when our hearts yielded. And if we keep our faith there, only in the cross, only in the death of Christ, then we can experience everything that is in Christ. And we'll see that further as we read through this chapter. Let's read this again. Verse 3, in whom, speaking of Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And notice Colossians chapter 3, let's just flip over there to the next chapter. And he reminds us here in verse 3 of Colossians 3, you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. You are dead. Listen, in him, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They're only found in the death of Jesus. That means all the Word of God has to pertain, point to, be in the context of Jesus and what he did at Calvary. Whether we understand this scripture or that scripture in the light of Calvary right now, listen, that doesn't mean it's not going to be, have to be viewed in that light, in that context, because it is if we're going to experience the righteousness of faith that comes from hearing God's words that are all in righteousness. We're not going to experience what we need to experience if we're not seeing the word in its righteous context. Amen. And that only comes through the gospel. Everything is in light of the gospel. Preachers that don't know that or disagree with that are still just dabbling around in all sorts of flesh and not going to be ugly, but just trying to get people to follow them, even if they might be doing the best they can. Let me say that the heart is a deceitfully wicked thing, Jeremiah said, above all things. And who can know it? Well, God's the only one that can know it. This is why we've got to come back to Calvary, because only from our place and our position in Christ through our faith in what he did at Calvary can we see the Word in its true light and walk with our Lord in the true light that he walks in without it just being vain pictures and imaginations in our minds. Remember, one of the statements made in Wednesday night's message this past week was that faith is not imagination. vain pictures and thought. Faith is really quite the opposite and is a resistance, and imagination is a resistance of true faith. We don't put our faith in pictures. We put our faith in the Word of God, in the light of the Son of God and what He did as the Lamb of God. And there we'll find that safe and secure, stable hiding place. We are dead and hidden away. Where are we hidden? In the death of Jesus. That's where we're hidden. Where are we hidden? In the death of Jesus. You are dead and hidden with Christ in God. Let's go back and look at it one more time. Colossians 3:3. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Where is my life? It's in Christ. Why is my life in Christ? Because I've been hidden through my faith in His death. You see, the death of Jesus, the cross of Christ, the Bible says in Titus 2, that it's the grace of God being offered to all men. And it says there in Titus 2 that the grace that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It tells us that in Titus 2, but all men don't see it. It's right out in the open. God's not hiding off in a cave, in a mountain, or up behind the clouds. God is hiding right out in our face. And you can't, that's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you cannot enter the kingdom of God or even see it until you're born again. Then you have eyes to see what's been right before you all your life, but it's been hidden from you because it's hidden from the lost race of Adam and can only be revealed to the believing heart in the very thing that's hidden. Listen, we go back and read again today at the very end of the first chapter, and in verse 26, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. Get this now. It's the same thing as when Christ died, the earthquake took place, it got dark, and the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom in two, signifying the new and living way being now through the flesh of Jesus, His death on Calvary's tree. Get this. What was behind that Holy of Holies for throughout the ages with Israel was nobody but one man, the high priest, one day a year could go in there. So all the rest of Israel was without the mystery of even what they knew what was in the Holy of Holies, but they couldn't go in and see it with their eyes. They could only hear about it. Now it's been revealed. The door has been opened. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in John chapter 10, I think it's verses 7 and 9, that He is the door. And He is the shepherd that went in first, and now His flock follows Him in. Again, let me say this. God is not hiding from people in caves and up in above the clouds or in the deep jungle. God is hiding what He is offering right out in plain sight. Hallelujah. That it takes a believing heart in Christ and His death for our forgiveness of sins and salvation, for our eyes to come open and us to see these things. So, back to Colossians 2, let's read this now. In whom are hid? This is why, let's go ahead. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Get this now. They're hidden. And you and I, as Christians, God is not hiding any of the treasures of His wisdom and knowledge from us, because they are where we are. We're in Christ. But we'll see in just a few moments that we have to learn to walk in Christ to be able to experience the wisdom and the knowledge that is there, hidden, not from us, but hidden for us. All the treasures of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, they are in Christ, but they are hidden. They're hidden. Listen, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? But you and I are in Him, in Christ. Therefore, we are where the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are located. But you and I have to learn to walk. Listen, in this place where we began. We have to learn to trust always in what we first trusted. We have to learn that the Word of God, all of the Bible, whether it's the creation story or it's the, what will we call the eschatological, the apocalyptic end, it is all the revelation of Jesus Christ, whether it's about the church or Israel, whether it's about different families in the Old Testament, whether it's about prayer, faith, fasting, repentance, baptisms, it doesn't matter. All of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are only in Christ. So you have to be in Him, and then you have to be walking in Him for you to be able to grow and learn of the wisdom and the knowledge, the treasures of those that are in Him. How much time have we wasted as Christians with access to everything, but not much usage of anything other than going to church and talking about God instead of being in fellowship with God? How many more years are we going to waste piddling around out in the outer court the Israel of old that couldn't even go into the Holy of Holies that has now been laid wide open for us? We're not piddling around out in the yard anymore. Christ has fulfilled all of that, become all of that to us, and opened the door to us to go in to what was hidden throughout the ages and the fullness of the revelation of God's wisdom and knowledge, which is now being offered. Who's hungry? That's the question. Who's thirsty? Are you hungry and thirsty for God's righteousness? For if you are, then you'll choose to go the way to serve obedience that is unto righteousness. And you will run from that other evil way where you're trusting in anything, focused on anything other than Christ. No matter what we're teaching on, it's got to be teaching Christ. All the topics and doctrines in the Bible are all culminated to one doctrine, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. He encompasses all knowledge and wisdom that is of God. Therefore, we've got to be talking about Jesus, not just prayer, not just faith, not just marriage, not just repentance, not just baptisms, not just anything. Everything has got to be tied to Christ, because at the end of what we claim we're learning, we've got to be able to say that we've learned Christ. Hallelujah. Not that just these things are in Him, but that what we're experiencing is Christ, because whatever we're experiencing is what we're going to be expressing. And we're called, my friends, to express Christ. We are His body. Hallelujah. His functionality in the earth today. So watch this. Let's move a little further. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? And this I say. Listen. He's saying here, by the unction of the Holy Spirit to you and me right now, in this very moment, in this I say, lest any man should beguile you. The word means deceive you with enticing words. And the word enticing there means persuasive. And some men are very gifted in the way they carry themselves, the way they orate, even speaking the scriptures the way they do. Some men can persuade us to be interested in other things that's not showing us Christ. It's teaching us what the Bible says, but our walk away is not with Christ. Our deeper revelation is not in Christ, of Christ, for Christ, to love Him more, to express Him more, to boast in Him and His finished work more. Remember, God allows no boasting in what we know or understand if it's not Him. That's what the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 9 and 24, that God told the prophet Jeremiah that you tell my people if they're going to boast, if they're going to glory at all, their boast, their glory better be in that they know me and understand me. And we brought this out in the last session as well, and Paul, by the Holy Spirit, narrowed it down in Galatians 6:14 and said, God forbid that we boast in anything other than the cross. Why? Because only through our faith in the death of Jesus, which is what God is working in us now, or it ain't God. It ain't God if it ain't Him working death in us. Because His goal is for us to, His will is for us to express His Son, and that ain't happening if we're not experiencing the death of the Son working in us. So we got to understand these things. And that's why He says here, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you, deceive you with enticing, persuasive words. We're not interested in men's words. We're not even, listen, I'm no longer even interested to men who can get up and just pour the scriptures out and sound so wonderful and beautiful. I'm interested more now than ever before in the revelation of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, my King of kings and Lord of lords, the one who's reigning over all things, the one who's upholding right now all things by the word of His power. That's who I want to see. That's who I want to hear. That's who I want to have walking with me in this light I claim I'm walking in. Hallelujah. And at the end of the day, I want to have known that I've learned Christ, not just something else the Bible says, but I want to learn more about my Savior that the Bible is surely talking about. Even if it's talking about in the word of God, things that we should be walking in and carrying out in our daily lives, that's going to have to be the expression of Christ in our lives, or it's just us working, trying to look good, look like our denomination, or look like our church folk we go to church with, or try to look. We're not, listen, we're here to be found looking unto Jesus so that we can be expressing Jesus. And the look that's unto Jesus, Hebrews 2 and 9 and Hebrews 12 and 2 tell us it's looking upon Him through faith in what He did by dying for us. That's what the Bible says. And God, that's where we began with the Lord, and that's where we'll find ourselves always, moment by moment, if we're going to be found walking with the Lord in that light, so that the one who is the light can be manifest through us as the light now through these mortal bodies. That's why Jesus told us we are the light. We are the light because He dwells in us. And if we allow the work of God, which is the death of Christ, to work in us, then the outflow of that light will shine. But if our faith is in anything other than the death of Jesus, that means we're boasting in something other than the death of Jesus, and God forbids it because the light won't shine through it. I might know scripture, and I might impress you with the way that I can quote scripture, or I might impress you with the way that I can pray. But listen, I'm not here to be an impression to you except that of Christ through me. That's it. And the only way He can be seen through me is if I'm allowing death, His death, to work in me. That's 2 Corinthians 4 and 12. Now, I know this will run a lot of Christians off. This will run most of the church world off. But the humble will hear and be glad, and they'll come running to this place where God has them hidden. The place we're hidden, out of that hiding place comes all the light and all the power and all of the will of God that's going to take place in and through His people. So watch this again now. And this I say, what? That in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and that word means good order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. That means in his death. Your faith in his, in your faith in Christ is not just, well, my faith's in Christ. I promise you, my friend, my faith is not in Christ because I say it is. My faith is in Christ if my heart is yielded to his death on the tree. That's where my, there is no other place for God, for the faith that God gave me, the measure of faith, to function except in Christ. We'll see that also in a little later. Watch this now. And we see in it right here. For though I be absent, verse 5, in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. See, if your faith is in Christ, meaning his death, I'm not talking about, of course, I'm born again, man, my faith is in, no. I'm talking about you're fighting the good fight of faith to maintain your faith in the death of Christ, because if you don't, many people are going to surround you and get you focused on other things for you to move your faith, and that faith won't move, but then you'll yield your heart to that old faith you used to function by, which is just believing in worldly things, believing in what you're doing, and it won't work. It won't work. And you got to be careful with that, because we're here, faith that God honors is only in Christ. He won't honor faith in the purpose driven. He won't honor faith in the walk of Emmaus. He won't honor faith in walking around the house three times, and every time you do that, just God gives me. No, my friend, the cross, he made our peace by the blood of his cross, the last chapter, first chapter 1:20. He doesn't give me peace because I go and do something, because I sit on the back porch and rock in the rocking chair a few minutes, and I just have felt the peace of God come over me. Not if your heart's not yielded to the Son of God and what he did at Calvary. You're the peace that you're experiencing is the sound of the birds and the wind blowing the pine trees, and there's nobody around and all that. Praise God for that. I love that too. But the peace of God can be right where all the chaos is, right in the middle of all the chaos. The peace that he gives to the believing heart. Get this, in Ephesians 1:20, that the power, the exceeding greatness of God's power is toward those who believe. Listen, the power there in Ephesians 1:20, the exceeding greatness of his power that he wrought when he raised Christ from the what? Where did this power have its originating place? In death. He raised him from, that means there was a beginning place the power had to touch, and it was his death, from the dead. So resurrection life is what we're looking for. If we reject the message of the cross, the focus of the cross, the boast of the cross, the view of the cross in all the scriptures, then we're really resisting resurrection power. Because I don't have it because I say I have it. My faith's not in Christ because I say it's in Christ. My faith is in Christ when God sees my faith, my heart yielded to the death of Jesus, in his death. For that's where the power was wrought to, when he raised Christ from the dead. And you say, well, Christ is not on the cross, and we're no longer there being crucified with him. But you know, that's in the past. I know it's in the past. But God's word still says he forbids we boast in anything but the cross. And God's word, this is all New Testament. That's Galatians 6:14 and 2 Corinthians 4:11-12 tell us that God is always delivering his people, those who are alive, unto death for Jesus' sake, so they might express the life of Jesus in these mortal bodies. So then, verse 12, so then death works in you, in us, but life in you. See, there is no ministry of Christ through us unless the ministry of the Holy Spirit is allowed to work His death in us. Oh, somebody needs to hear this today. Glory to God. Like I said, this will run almost all the church away, but the humble will hear and be glad. Remember, not everybody has still walking in this journey with the veil off their face. If you start looking at God's Word outside of Christ being revealed to you, and that means who He is and what He did at Calvary, my friend, you've putting something back up over your face. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you'll see why the veil was over the hearts of the people of Israel and still is to this day, because when they read the Word, they're not seeing Christ. They're not born again. They're not accepting Christ. The Word of God can't do anybody any good outside of their faith in Christ. None. There's a veil there that won't let them understand the Word. And you and I have had that veil removed when we were born again. But if we're not careful, we'll put a sack over our head again by trying to see everything in the Word that's not going to result in the experience and the expression of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm glad I'm learning these great truths today. I'm just so thankful for it. Listen, let me say something to those who are learning these truths, because we do see that the majority of the church runs from this kind of teaching and this kind of preaching and sharing the truth. It's sound doctrine. They run from it. Don't let that discourage you. Don't let that discourage you when you see people standing in this truth who, as Paul said, wouldn't give place for 1 minute to anything. Wouldn't give place for 1 minute to anything other than this focus. Because when we do give place to it, allowance of it, then we're sowing discord and confusion. And you know, we can't be saying what's right and then not doing what's right. Because when we're found in that, then we're just causing more problems than we are helping people. And, you know, I've been in that, and I've been there, and I don't want to go back. Did I say I wouldn't? No, but the Lord knows I don't want to, and I believe He'll keep me from it. Hallelujah. If we'll stay in our place of boasting in nothing but the Lamb of God slain. Hallelujah. Oh, it's just too simple, they say. That's right. The Bible calls it the simplicity of Christ. And you, man, the well of salvation is so deep. And the deeper you go, the more of the simplicity that's in Christ is found. It's not that the simplicity is up at a shallow level. The more depth in this well of salvation that we allow the Lord to walk us into, the more of the simplicity of Christ we will see. It's not the way our flesh sees it, that the simple stuff is at the shallow part. No, that's what the false teachers want you to think, that they're deep and you they'll always be ahead of you and deeper than you, and you know, you just need to follow them. No, my friend, the deeper we go in this well of salvation, the more that the simplicity of Christ will be revealed to the believing heart. Let's read verse 4 again. And this I say, lest any man should beguile, deceive you with enticing, persuasive words. Oh, have we heard them? And we're hearing them now more than ever. Oh, more than ever. They're so persuasive. They're so persuasive. And listen, and they will put your fire out by being persuasive of why we shouldn't be determined to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. This place is never learned by theological instruction. It's only learned through the longing heart. I'm not talking about feelings and emotions. I'm talking about a heart that longs for truth. Because only in truth can God be found at work. Psalms 33:4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. Hallelujah. Because the truth is Jesus, and He is the Christ, in Christ. So watch this again. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, I'm not there, Paul says. Yet I am with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your good order and the ongoing, the stability of your faith. Where is it? In Christ. It's the only place God will honor faith is in Christ. In verse 6, might I say, is one of the most paramount scriptures that a Christian will ever hear. And if you can see the truth of it, it will bless your heart so tremendously. Watch this. Colossians 2:6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. You were immersed into His death. Let's read that in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 today. Know ye not, and they didn't, and we didn't for years, and most still don't. Don't you know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? A lot of the Bible commentaries you read today are written on Romans. The first thing I always do when I'm in a bookstore somewhere and I open up a commentary on Romans, I go straight to Romans chapter 6, verse 3. And if they're talking about water baptism and not the death of Jesus, I'm really not going to be interested in what they got to say, because if you mess that up, if you make that about water baptism, you will never learn how to live in victory. You will never understand what it means to be in Christ now, today, after your born again experience. You'll sit and hear the phrase in Christ, in Him, of whom, that all relate to Jesus and what He did at Calvary, and never know it, and just stay at just a place where you're hearing, but there's not any doing going on. Get this now. Don't you know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Water baptism comes after that as being symbolic of this, because the baptism, and this is what messes a lot of your people up, when these people that say you're not going to heaven if you're not water baptized, because they don't understand baptism. They don't understand that the first baptism that's required is you being immersed into the death of Jesus. Let's look at something right quick. The Lord lays it on my heart right now. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go and look at this. And I believe it's in verses 4 and 5. And these things here speak of these things that say one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. These things are concerning salvation. Watch. One Lord that can save you, Jesus Christ. One faith, the faith of Jesus Christ and what He did at Calvary, and our faith. One faith, they but one faith. And one baptism. Now we know the world has a faith, but there's only one faith that saves. And we know there's more than one baptism. There's there's the baptism that we just read in Romans 6:3 into the death of Jesus. We know there's a water baptism, right? But this is talking about salvation. There's one Lord who saves, who is the Savior. There's one faith that's saved. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, but it's the gift of God. That is the grace and the faith. Hallelujah. And then there's only one baptism, talking about salvation. And it's not water. Water can't save you. Water can't wash your sins away. Only the blood of Jesus. When we're immersed into His death, into His blood. What do you think the songs mean? Washed Have you been washed? All the songs about the blood of Jesus are about us being immersed into His death, being washed, our sins being washed away. How beautiful that is. It's so beautiful. Watch this now. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, as you have. That don't mean, well, you received. No, as you have received Him. And then it says, therefore. There. Point to a place. Therefore, walk ye in Him. The way we walk in Him is the same way we received Him. If we mess this up, everything's messed up. If we mess this scripture up right here, then we're still living as Christians as though we're under the law, and we're not. And we'll see all sorts of things in the Word, but we won't be seeing the One who is the living Word, the One who the written Word is all about. Hallelujah. So you got to understand this today. As you have therefore received, how did you receive Him? How did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? It wasn't by asking Him to come live in your heart. That's not how you received Him. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we believed with the heart unto righteousness. He moved in right then. He moved in right then. Your heart believing unto righteousness, trusting in the death of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, for your salvation, was your invite for Him to move in. He didn't have to hear the words, come live in me. He didn't have to hear that. What He heard was you obeying the command of the gospel. Because when you obeyed that form of doctrine, He freed you from sin and made you a servant of righteousness. There you are back in Romans 6 again, preacher. That's right. You can't get away from it. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying, come live in me, Lord Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. My point is, He didn't come dwell in you because you asked Him to. He came to dwell in you by His Spirit because you believed in His death. When you were immersed into the death of Jesus, it's when He entered you. He entered you. And you entered Him. And there is where we learn to walk with Him in the life that He's in. If we're going to have to walk in Him as we received Him by faith in what He did in death for us to be immersed into Him, then that also confirms that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, that's the light the Word of God is expressing to us. The light of who He is, the light of His righteousness that we believed unto. That's when the light came on, isn't it? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God that shined in the face of Jesus, 2 Corinthians 4:6. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God. If that's not the light that we're walking in with our Lord, then we've either got the wrong Lord or we've taken the wrong trail. We got to get back to the place we received Him. The church of Galatia got in trouble over this, found themselves fallen from grace, because only in this place we're talking about, walking in Him, in the same place you received Him, the same way you received Him, is the only place grace exists and is offered. Get that now. So this, and we're not going to do it, but this so intrinsically ties the throne of God where we go to find grace with the sacrifice of Christ. Oh, it's a beautiful picture in the heart of the believer that the new man can see and boast in the cross of. Oh, it's so beautiful. Watch this now. Let's read it again. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, as you have, not just because you did, as you did. so walk ye in him. As you have, therefore. There. For there. As you have. I'm not doing it too much. I won't do it near enough, although I'll stop here in just a second. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so, like so, walk ye in him. Because it's the only place, keep reading verse 7, where you can be, it's the only place where you can be rooted and built up. Where? In him, you're dead and hidden. Next chapter, verse 3, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. This is why God works death in those who are alive. See, how else would we be able to present our bodies now a living Christ sacrifice? Not I that live, but Christ now living in me. In the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See how beautiful it is. How beautiful that is as we behold our Savior in the Scripture, in sound doctrine. Listen. Rooted and built up in him, only as we walk in him, only as our faith remains in his death, because that's how we received him. Rooted and built up. Rooted and built up. Jesus said he would build his church. Here is a picture of that experience, experiential expression for us if we'll grab a hold of the cross and start pushing these things that have hindered the truth of the cross from being in every Bible verse that we read. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, never forget that the Bible, the Word of God, will never, ever distract us from the work of the slain Lamb. It will never distract us from that. It will always enhance our view of that great redemptive truth and allow us to go deeper and drink more of the waters of life that are in the wells of our salvation. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. If you get away from Calvary, you get away from the cup that you have to drink. God's working that death in us so that we can express the one who was raised from the dead. It's the only avenue that we can walk in where we can experience what it truly means, Romans 12:1, to present our bodies living sacrifices. We were dead, but now we live. But the life we now live is because Christ lives in us. And we thought for years that because Christ now dwells in us, that death doesn't have anything to do with us. No. For Christ to be able to live in me, I had to initially believe in his death. And for him to be expressed through me now, I must continue to believe in that death. Because that is what God is working in those who are alive. Always. You say, well, if I come back to that, always, I'll lose people in my church. Well, maybe it's time to let God evaluate who his people are. It's time to let God do the sorting. It's time. He's the one who causes the division. He's the one who causes the division through the message of redemption. It's God who's shaking everything. It ain't Joe Biden and the Democrats and the Republicans and all the other groups of folk. Man, the Bible says that God is shaking not only the earth but the heavens also with His word that He's speaking from heaven through the blood that was shed at Calvary that speaks better things than that of Abel's blood. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Have a shout about now. Glory be to God. The world is shaken because God is speaking from heaven through the blood of His Son. And you better know that's what's shaking everything up. And that's, you don't believe me? You just stick around for a while and see where everything is going to culminate and come to. It's all getting very spiritual right now. Even newscasters, I'm not talking about they're getting saved. I'm talking about everything is headed. All the big religious heads of the world are going to end up right there in the place where the true head of all the church is going to be there. And when the dust settles from all of men's attempt to be God, the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to be standing there, and He's going to still have the appearance of one slain as of a lamb. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It's the power and the wisdom of God. Does not God's words say that the preaching of the cross is the wisdom and the power of God? Then that also confirms in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, that it's going to take the preaching of the cross for that wisdom, that treasure of wisdom and knowledge, to be revealed even to those of us who are in Christ as we learn to walk in Christ. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to have to stop right here. I started late, but I ended late, so we made up for it. So praise God. I hope you've been stirred. If this couldn't stir you today, I don't believe you can be stirred by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If you're talking about the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what He did at Calvary for us, that is who God has forever been. I said that is who God has forever been. He said of Himself in Malachi that He cannot change. That means the slain Lamb of God is who God has always been. He has always been. It's who He is. It's who He is. And who He is was revealed to us in its fullness through a slain lamb on the tree of Calvary. And if God's word to any degree, because the word of God is God, is going to be revealed to us in any degree, it's going to be revealed to us through the focus and the boast and the glorying and the preaching of Christ in Him crucified. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, come quickly, Lord Jesus, but save millions before You do, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory to His name. You get fired up, my goodness gracious alive. Woo! My goodness, you get stirred up. The truth will light your fire, my friend. Oh, the truth will light your fire. And we've been commanded by God not to ever let that fire go out. And I refuse to let persuasive words of men pull me away from this determined place of knowing nothing, boasting in nothing other than my Savior, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. Praise the Lord. I hope you would join us every Monday and Friday right here at the noon hour, straight up, and God will bless you with the truth of His righteous words. I pray that His touch be upon your body right now. Those of you who have anything at all going on in your physical bodies, I can't heal you, but Jesus died to become your healer. And I thank You for Your healing right now, Father. In the name of Jesus, I'm praying for everybody that's listening, everybody that heard the gospel, everybody that's being stirred by Your Spirit. I thank You for healing in their bodies, the miracles of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the healing hands of Jesus be upon us all. Oh, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. And I pray, God, Father, in heaven, Lord, that You would touch our spirit and our souls, Lord, and cause us to have a greater delight in you than ever before, so that we can experience a more desires that you will put in our heart than ever before. And we give you all the praise for what you're saying and doing in this last moment of this age. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I love you. If the Lord stirs your heart to give an offering to Him, you can give an offering to Him through this ministry at thecrosswaychurch.com. Or you can simply text the word give to the number 903-231-5950. God bless you. He loves you and I love you. And He wants to show you more of His goodness as you allow Him to take you deeper into this well of salvation. It is ever so deep. God bless you. I'll see you next time. Until then, stay determined to know absolutely nothing but Christ and Him crucified. We'll see you then.